Y deseis es el lugar de Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been observing what the Acharyas and staying in Puri, and that the devotees from Bengal have come, they've gone, they've come, they've gone, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his desire is that he goes to Sri Vrindavan Dham. But the last verse we read explained how, although the Lord wanted to go, he was submissive to his devotees who tricked him again and again out of their loving affection for him. They could not tolerate his absence. So, using one excuse or another, oh, now it's too cold, now it's too hot, now it's too cold, now it's too hot. Oh, just wait a few months when it's a little warmer. Oh, but now it's too warm, it's too hot. And just wait till the warmth goes away a bit. Oh, now it's too cold to go. So for 2 years, practically speaking, the devotees in this way controlled the Supreme Lord out of their loving affection for him and disallowed him from going to Vrindavan from Puri. This is after the Lord returned from his tour of South India. So for the third year, all the devotees of Bengal wanted to return again to Jagannath Puri. So they would all, this was the great event of the year. They would gather together, and those who could come from Bengal, all of Mahaprabhu's associates, from his boyhood and youth in Navadvip, and those who had participated in his starting the Sankirtan movement, in the chanting, those who seen his ecstatic dancing, those who had seen him manifest his Mahaprakash Lila, where he manifested himself for 21 hours as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who saw him during the kirtan sometimes being lighter than a swab of cotton, and the devotees carrying him around, and sometimes they saw him being as heavy as a pillar and standing without moving for 3 or 4 hours, and no one could move him at all. Sometimes they saw him assume different forms of different aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They understood he was the Supreme Lord, but even more than that, even though their relationship with him was always in dasya ras, because everyone's relationship, quite different from Krishna's manifestation of Krishna, where there were so many intimacies, varieties of intimacies from parent to friend to wife to girlfriend. There's so many different varieties of intimacies of rasas, but with Mahaprabhu there was only one basic rasa, and that was dasya rasa. Everyone thought of themselves as a servant. Everyone simply wanted to be his servant. When Sri Advaita Charja was treated with respect and deference by Mahaprabhu, he decried that. He did not want that at all. He wanted to be treated as a servant, a lowly servant, and be chastised even. He did not want any veneration. So there's so much sweetness in being a servant of the Lord, so much so that Krishna himself desires to taste the sweetness of being a servant of Krishna. And that is the secret of Mahaprabhu's advent. In the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, it describes how Markandeya Rishi, after being wandering on the ocean of devastation for so many countless thousands and millions of years, he came across a banyan tree in this ocean of devastation. He came across a banyan tree, and on the banyan tree, or a leaf, was the Supreme Lord. And what was the Supreme Lord doing? As a little baby, he was sucking his own toe. And our acharyas have commented that the Lord was so thinking that all the devotees want to taste the sweetness of my lotus feet. I wonder how sweet they taste. So therefore, baby Krishna takes his lotus toe and places it in his mouth to taste the sweetness of his own service or serving his lotus feet. So, I believe it was Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments in this way. But in this way, the Lord's incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, Radha Baba Suvalalitam, whom Krishna, Sarupam Krishna, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he comes. So all the devotees wanted to relish the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they had been absent from him for perhaps 8 months, because they came the previous year to Jagannath Puri to participate in Rath Yatra and to perform so many different services and activities, mostly kirtan. Every day they would chant Krishna's names and they would perform one pastime after the next. They would gather together and go to the temple 3 times a day. They would bathe together in the ocean. And in this way they were with their Lord again, because they thought they would never see him again when he took sannyas from Navadvipa. So therefore, for the third year, all the devotees of Bengal wanted to return again to Jagannath Puri. Why? Because they wanted to taste the sweetness of the Lord's lotus feet. They could not resist it. And this is the one of the prime characteristics of the Supreme Lord, that he is irresistibly sweet. And our turning our back on him, Krishna Bhuli Sejeev, places us so we avoid his sweetness, and we live in the world of shadows, because Krishna is like the sun, Krishna Suryasam, Maya Haya Andhakar, Maya is the shadow. So when we turn our back on Krishna, it's like turning the back on the sun or this light. So what happens when you turn your what happens when you face the light, you see the light, and when you turn your back on the light, you see only the shadow of the actual sunlight. Can you see the shadow of my hand on the drum? See, it's only a shadow. It cannot actually make the sound that the actual hand can make. It is only a shadow. The substance is not there. So we live in the world of insubstantial shadows. And we wonder why the shadows do not bring the satisfaction that we think they will bring, because we do not realize or we cannot conceive of them being shadows, because that's all we know. So the instruction of Bhakti Yoga is meant to turn us to face the light, to face Krishna, to face our relationship with him and live in our relationship with him. So naturally the devotees wanted to again return to Jagannath Puri. So what did Mahaprabhu want? He wanted to go to Vrindavan, but the devotees are coming and the devotees didn't want him to leave. The devotees in Puri didn't want him to leave. So then for another 4 months, and they would come for Rath Yatra, and he was going to be there again. So to leave all the Bengali devotees, and you can imagine how every year they were doing this, they would gather together and they would walk the entire way. How long did it take? Perhaps 2 weeks.
And with the blue card, they were doing it 2.5 months. All the food stays to send them for
it. It would take them 2.5 months to
with
go?
The blue card, yeah.
Did you ever walk? Next time, yes. Next time, talk about it. So, and it, so all the devotees gathered around, all the Bengali devotees. Sabe mele gela adwaita charja pashe. Prabhu dekite acharja chalila ulase. They, in great jubilation, all the Bengali devotees gathered around Advaitacharya, because Advaitacharya, who was very elderly, senior and older at that time, he would make that trip too. And in great jubilation, Advaitacharya departed to Jagannath Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although the Lord told Nityananda Prabhu, this was in the last chapter, he took him aside and he said, "Oh Nitai, I am here in Puri. I have my service to do here, is here in Puri right now. But how about the people of Bengal? They are so elevated that no one but Nityananda Prabhu can save them. So you have to go there. You go to Bengal and you preach in Bengal. This is what I want you to do." And Nityananda Prabhu said yes. And then he came the next year. He said, Mahaprabhu told him, "Don't come anymore. You have your service to do over there." Nityananda said yes. But he came. Although the Lord told Nityananda Prabhu to stay in Bengal and spread ecstatic love of God, prema bhakti, prakashite, to manifest or to spread and manifest prema bhakti, Nityananda left to go see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who can understand Nityananda Prabhu's ecstatic love? So out of ecstatic love, he went against the order of his master. But it was out of ecstatic love, not using the excuse, that Nityananda Prabhu did the opposite of what Mahaprabhu told him, therefore I can do the opposite of what anyone tells me and do whatever I want. But Nityananda Prabhu, the engine driving his activities was his ecstatic love for Krishna, his ecstatic love and service for Mahaprabhu. So it is, Nityananda Prabhu had a very interesting preaching style. He used to tell everyone he would go, especially, there were different areas that he went to, especially when he was in Navadvipa, and then he was also in the area is called, but near where Raghunath Das Goswami is, in Sri Krishnapur, and where Udanandata is, where there was a big mercantile community, Suvarnavanik. And he went to what was it, Kadaha, so different places and places on the Ganga, and his preaching style would be that he would go to people. And he would tell them, "You may, whatever you think, whatever you like, whatever you think of me, whatever you think about anything, just take shelter. I beg you to take shelter of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, of Gaura Hari. Just take shelter of him. Take shelter of Gauranga Mahaprabhu." And then Nityananda Prabhu would roll about in the ground and the dust, saying, "Take shelter of Gauranga, take shelter of Gauranga, take shelter of Gauranga." This was his preaching techniques. All the devotees of Navadvipa, with Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, they departed. They included Acharya Ratna Vidyanidhi, Shivas, Ramai, Vasudev Datta, that is, Shivas Thakur, Govinda and his two brothers, and Raghava Pandit, who took bags of assorted food. That will be described at a different point. The pastime of Raghava Jali, his different bags of food that he would cook, he and his sister Damayanti would cook all year long to bring different things for Mahaprabhu's pleasure, for his tasting. So, and the inhabitants of Kulinagram, carrying silken ropes, also departed, because in the previous chapter, when a very, very touching scene took place, when the devotees had to leave after their 4 months of the being with Mahaprabhu, and then they left to go back. And during this, right before they, while Lord Chaitanya was observing the festival of the end of the Rath Yatra festival, where the when Lord Jagannath was taken back from the Gundicha temple and placed back in his own temple in the Jagannath Mandir, the daityas, they would carry him, and they would use these silken ropes to carry him, and they would move him from one place to another and place them on big cushions. So they would use silk ropes to carry him when they would carry him, and these ropes broke. So Mahaprabhu gave an assignment, an order, a service to the residents of Kulinagram. Every year you bring new ropes that were made out of silk for the service of Lord Jagannath during the time of Rath Yatra, but make them thicker than these so that they don't break. So the residents of Kulinagram, they felt themselves so fortunate to have a service to do for Lord Jagannath. And not only was it a service for Lord Jagannath, it was a service given to them for Lord Jagannath from the lotus mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So they cherished that as their very life and soul. And while they were making those ropes, they must have always been thinking, oh, Mahaprabhu told us to do this, and they will be for Lord Jagannath. And we should make them so strong that when they are carrying Lord Jagannath, who is so heavy that they do not break, because Mahaprabhu will be pleased if the ropes are strong and don't break. So all the time they were thinking of how to please Lord Jagannath and please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then also Narahari and Sri Raghunandan, who were from the village of... what village were they from? Sri Kanda. And many other devotees also departed. Who can count them? Shivananda Sen, who was in charge of the party, because he knew the roads very, very well, and he was wealthy, and he maintained everyone. He dealt with all the tax collect, all the official business of all everyone. Because in those days they didn't have those things on the roads where they would automatically debit your account when you drive. They didn't have that. They had tax collectors. So you always have to be nice to the tax collectors. So, Sivananda Sen, who was in charge of the party, he knew the roads and he knew how to deal in the world. He made arrangements to clear the tax collecting centers. He took care of all the devotees and happily traveled with them. So he took responsibility in making sure that the devotees had enough to eat and had places to sleep. Sivananda Sen took care of all the necessities the devotees required. In particular, he made arrangements for residential quarters and he knew the roads of Orissa. That year also, all the wives of the devotees, the Takaranis, say, Vatsara Prabhu Dekite Sabha Takarani Chalila Acharya Sange Achuta Janani. And Sita Devi, they also went to see all the Matajis, the Takaranis, also went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sita Devi, the mother of Achyutananda, went with the Dvaita Charja. Srivas Pandit also took his wife, whose name was Malini, and the wife of Sivananda Sen also went with her husband. Chaitanya Das, the son of Sivananda Sen, also jubilantly accompanied them as they went to see the Lord. Chaitanya Das, when he was very young, he sucked the lotus foot when he was just a baby. He put one of the toes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his mouth and he sucked it. And he was also known as Puridas. So there's pastimes about him. And the wife of Chandrasekhar, Chandraratna, also went. I cannot speak of the greatness of Chandrasekhar's love for the Lord. To offer Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu various types of food, all the wives of the great devotees brought from home various things that pleased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As stated, Sivananda Sen used to make all arrangements for the party's necessities. In particular, he used to pacify the men in charge of levying taxes, and he found resting places for everyone. Sivananda Sen also supplied food to all the devotees and took care of them along the way. In this way, feeling great happiness, he went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. When they all arrived in Ramuna, they went to see Lord Gopinath. Kira Chora Gopinath. In their temple there, Advaita Charya danced and he chanted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had also visited this Ramuna in the temple of Gopinath when he the first time he went to Jagannath Puri from Bengal after taking sannyas. He was with Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu had told all the pastimes of these places, all the places they visited. All the priests of the temple had been previously acquainted with Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, they all came to offer great respect to the Lord. That night, all the great devotees remained in the temple. They all slept in the temple that night. And the priests, Pujaris, the Mahanta, brought 12 pots of condensed milk, because Gopinath was very famous because they gave him the sweetest, the most tastiest of cheer of condensed milk. They would feed him that, and there was a famous pastime of Madhavendra Puri that Mahaprabhu heard from Nityananda Prabhu when they passed there. How the Lord, the deity, when Madhavendra Puri came, he saw the deity and he was thinking, he was on his way to Puri to collect sandalwood for Gopal, who was in Vrindavan. So when he was there, he saw that they were offering such wonderful cheer, such wonderful paramana, the most wonderful sweet rice to Gopinath. So he thought for a moment, oh, if I could just find out what that tastes like, then I would be able to discern what the ingredients are like. Korma Prabhu can do this. You give him anything to eat, he can tell you exactly what ingredients are in there. So Sripad Madhavendra Puri said, only if I could taste it, I'll know exactly what ingredients are made in there, and then I could make that same wonderful tasty sweet rice for Gopal in Vrindavan. And as soon as he thought, oh, I wish I could find out what it tastes like, he said, oh no, what have I done? This food is being offered to the Lord, and I'm thinking in my mind, I want to find out what it tastes like, I want to taste it, I've committed an offense. So without standing there a moment longer, he offered his obeisances and left. Thinking of himself as an offender. And then that night, the pujari went to put the deities to sleep. He took away all the sweet rice that was being offered. He put the deities to sleep. And then he himself went to sleep. He took rest. And suddenly, Gopinath came to him in a dream and said, oh Pujari, wake up. You think you have taken away all the sweet rice, but there is one pot remaining. I have hidden that pot for that saintly devotee who is present, and his name is Madhavendra Puri, and he left. I have hidden this pot for him. You please come and get this pot. Find Madhavendra Puri and give him. So the pujari immediately awoke, and what do you think he did?
He went to find Madhavendra Puri. Mm-hmm.
Good guess. Even though you get okay, no. Yes, he did do that, but not yet. What did he do before he went to find Madhavendra Puri?
First he went to the temple to get the pot, hidden pot of...
Yes, but he did something before that.
Took a bath.
Yes, he took a bath. He bathed, and he looked, he moved the deity's cloth, and he saw there was a pot of sweet rice. And he took that, and he went out, and where was Madhavendra Puri? He had no idea. So he went out in the village, the town of Ramuna, and began calling out, "Oh, Madhavendra Puri, you are the most fortunate. Oh, Madhavendra Puri, Gopinath has stolen sweet rice for you. Come and take it. Oh, Madhavendra Puri, please come and get the sweet rice Gopinath has stolen for you. Oh!" And he went all around, and finally Madhavendra Puri, who was in the market, which was closed during the night, he said, "Yes, Madhavendra Puri, yes." And he gave him the sweet rice, which I offered as obeisance, and said, "You're the most fortunate. Deity himself has stolen this for you." So Madhavendra Puri took it, and feeling himself most fortunate, what do you think he did next? See if he can get it wrong.
He then got the taste of the ingredients of the sweet rice.
He what?
He actually got the taste of the ingredients
of the sweet rice. Yes, he actually did, yes. But he was in so much ecstasy, he didn't actually care about the ingredients at that time. But what he did was, he took the clay pot, he kept that with him, and tied it in his cloth. And then he said, "If I stay here any longer, everyone in the village tomorrow is going to know that the deity has stolen sweet rice for me. And then everyone's going to come, want to touch my feet and say, 'Oh, you're Madhavendra Puri, the one that the deity's.'" And he said, "No, I'm leaving." So immediately he started walking for Jagannath Puri to acquire the sandalwood. He went about his service. He didn't want to taste the flavor of fame, because the flavor of fame brings up the desire for, it brings up pride, and pride is dangerous. Raghunath Das Goswami said, first of all, you give up pride. And Mahaprabhu said the opposite, "Chinada Pisunith," and become humble. So that the devotees were hearing about the pastime of Madhavendra Puri, and they were looking at the beauty of Gopinath, and they were thinking of this wonderful sweet rice. So all the great devotees remained in the temple. They spent the night in the temple. And the priest, the pujaris, the mahant, put 12 pots of condensed milk, which they placed before Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And when the condensed milk was placed before Nityananda Prabhu, he distributed the prasad to everyone, and thus everyone's transcendental bliss increased. Then they all discussed the story of Sri Madhavendra Puri's installation of the Gopal deity, and they discussed how Gopal begged sandalwood from Madhavendra Puri, and it was Gopinath who stole condensed milk for the sake of Madhavendra Puri. And this incident had been previously related by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. The same narration was again related by Lord Nityananda to all the devotees, and their transcendental bliss increased as they heard the story again. Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word Mahaprabhura Mukhe, from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are significant because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first heard the story of Madhavendra Puri from his spiritual master, Sri Padmeshwara Puri. So this story refer to Madhyalila, chapter 4, verse 18. Where should you refer?
Chapter 4, verse 18.
Of?
Of the Madhyalila.
Yes, very good. 100%. Yes. And what book? Yes, yes, it's good. You can copy off of him. After staying at Sri Advaita's house in Santipur for some time, the Lord narrated the story of Madhavendra Puri to Nityananda Prabhu, Jagannanda Pandit, Damodar Pandit, and Mukunda Das. When they went to Ramuna to the temple of Gopinath, he described Madhavendra Puri's installation of the Gopal deity as well as Gopinath stealing condensed milk. Due to this incident, Lord Gopinath became well known as Chir Chor, the thief who stole condensed milk. That's a concept of the Supreme Lord that you can't imagine that in any other religion. Christianity, Islam, Jewish religion, or any, that they feel so much happiness to call the Lord a thief. But the devotees have a different relationship with the Supreme Lord, a different mood in their love, in their serving Him, and becoming dear to Him. So then they left Ramuna. Walking in this way, the devotees arrived at the city of Katak, where they remained for a day and saw the temple of Sakshi Gopal. At that time, Sakshi Gopal was in Katak. And now he's in his own temple in his own village of Sakshi Gopal, which is closer to Jagannath Puri. For some time he stayed in the same temple as he was in the Sringadev temple or Jagannath temple. But then they said there was an argument between the deities, so that he needed his own temple. It might have been over the prasadam. When Nityananda Prabhu described all the activities of Sakshi Gopal, transcendental bliss increased in the mind of all the Vaishnavas. For these activities, referred, Prabhupada says, to Madhya Lila, chapter 5, verse 8-138. Everyone in the party was very anxious at heart to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, they hastily went on to Jagannath Puri. So one of the great benefits of taking the slow road or the slow methodology, the non-technologically sophisticated methodology of walking, is that you're walking and walking and walking day after day, and what are you thinking of? Which direction is your mind going? Is it going back to where you left, or is it going forward to where you're going? Your mind is on Jagannath Puri. So practically speaking, your mind is meditating. Oh, soon we're going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So your mind is full of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And soon we'll be able to see lotus-eyed Lord Jagannath. And your mind is full of Lord Jagannath. And then when you physically get there, you're really there. And on the other hand, nowadays we go by plane, and even though it's much more practical in the sense of how would we go from Perth, even though in that sense, but it has the drawback is that your body gets there and your mind is still in Perth, and then it takes days and days, few days at least, before your mind arrives in the place where you are. The system is so nice, it's so ecstatic. The anticipation is just building and building and building. You're seeing it. Your mind and heart are full of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Jagannath, or Sri Vrindavan Dham. So every moment there is like gold. So everyone in the party was very anxious at heart to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore they hastily went on to Jagannath Puri. When they all arrived at a bridge called Ataranala, which means 18 arches, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hearing the news of their arrival, sent two garlands with Govinda. Govinda is his servant, his godbrother and servant. Govinda, took those two garlands given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered them to Advaita Charja and Nityananda Prabhu, and both lords became very happy. Because this was the before they were meditating on Mahaprabhu, and then the touch of Mahaprabhu came to them first in the form of these garlands. So they were feeling Mahaprabhu's presence when the garlands were brought, but Mahaprabhu himself stayed further away, so that their thoughts of him, their affection filled loving thoughts of him, just increased and increased and increased. So they were already hastily going, and they were also anxious at heart. Prabhu ke milite sabara utkanta antare. Utkanta means very enthusiastic. Very enthusiastic to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. Literally it means, ut means the neck. The kanta is like this.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go and see him. And then the garlands came, and their ecstasy increased still further. Indeed, they began chanting the holy name of Krishna on that very spot, and dancing. Both Advaita Charja and Nityananda Prabhu reached Jagannath Puri. So they chanted from Atharanala. You can see the chakra and the temple dome from Atharanala. And then it is still several kilometers. Does anyone remember how many it is? Six or eight?
Six,
eight or seven? Somewhere in between. Seven. So, and then from there they began chanting loudly and dancing out of the natural enthusiasm born from their affection-filled hearts, wishing to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they're dancing and dancing and chanting. And then for a second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent garlands to Srupa Damodar and other personal associates. So he himself still stayed. Thus they went forward, sent by the son of Mother Sati. When the devotees from Bengal reached Lake Narendra, which is on the outskirts of the Puri, relatively close to the Gundicha temple, when in proximity you can see the Jagannath temple from there. When the devotees from Bengal reached Lake Narendra, Sarup Damodar and the others met them and offered them garlands, the garlands given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu, as they were thinking of Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu was thinking of them. This is the relationship of the Lord and his devotees. He reciprocates. He thinks of the devotees and the devotees think of him. If we turn our back on Krishna, then samoham sarvabhuteshu, then he acts very neutrally to us. If we move towards him, he moves towards us. But in an exorbitantly generous reciprocation. But if we don't want to have anything to do with him, then okay. And if we want to become very close to him in serving, in devotional service, then he becomes very eager. And he thinks of us like Prabhupada was thinking of the devotees. So then after Lake Narendra, Sarup Damodar himself, who was so intimate with Mahaprabhu, he was his secretary, his most personal associate. So he came at Lake Narendra, and then the devotees were still more ecstatic, and practically they were running towards Jagannath temple. And when the devotees finally reached the Singhadwara, the lion gate, Sri Chaitanya heard the news and personally went to meet them. Then Sri Chaitanya and all the devotees visited Lord Jagannath. So all together they went to see Jagannath. And accompanied by all of them, he returned to his own residence. Oh, he took all the devotees to see Lord Jagannath, and then he took all the devotees back to his own home. Vaninath Roy, Kaji Misra, then brought a large quantity of prasad, Jagannath prasad, Mahaprasad, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed it with his own hands to all the devotees and fed them all. So in the previous year, everyone had his own particular residence, and the same residences were again offered. Thus they all went to take rest. For four continuous months, all the devotees remained there and enjoyed chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As in the previous year, they all washed the Gundicha temple, and when the time for the Rath Yatra arrived, the inhabitants of Kalinagram delivered silken ropes to Lord Jagannath, as previously they all danced before the Lord's cart. After dancing a great deal, they all went to a nearby garden and took rest beside a lake. So this was actually described also in the previous year, in the previous chapter. So one Brahmin named Krishnadas, who was a resident of Radhadesh and a servant of Lord Nityananda's, was a very fortunate person. It was Krishnadas who filled the great water pot and poured it over the Lord while he was taking his bath, and the Lord was greatly satisfied by this. The remnants of food offered to the Lord at Balagandhi, that's when the place when Jagannath stops after he on the Rath Yatra, and this Balagandhi is the place where anyone can come and make offerings of food to Lord Jagannath. So the remnants of food offered to the Lord of Balagandhi then arrived in great quantity, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his devotees ate it. As in the previous year, the Lord with all the devotees saw the Rath Yatra festival and the Hira Panchami festival as well, where the Lord is brought back from the Gundicha to the Jagannath temple. Advaita Charja extended an invitation to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there was a great rainstorm connected with that incident. So there's, the Prabhupada will explain it a little past time in the purport of his next verse. All these episodes have been very elaborately described by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. Then one day Srivas Thakur extended an invitation to the Lord, purport, to the Prabhupada's purport. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anti Lila, chapter 8, gives the following description. One day Sri Advaita Charja, having extended an invitation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thought that if the Lord came alone, he would feed him to his great satisfaction. So usually when someone would offer an invitation for Mahaprabhu to come to the house to eat, take lunch, then all the sannyasis who were present there, they would also come. But Advaita Charja had a secret desire that Mahaprabhu would come alone so that he could just serve him. It would be more intimate that way. So Mahaprabhu came and the sannyasis were coming, but then suddenly a great rainstorm occurred, and it was so heavy that no one could go outside. So the sannyasis couldn't come, and Advaita Charja had the pleasure and the sweet satisfaction of serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had Mahaprabhu all to himself. So then, and Mahaprabhu said, "I know how that rainstorm happened. I know who was behind this rainstorm." Thus, according to Advaita Charja's desire, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came alone and accepted the prasad. The Lord's favorite vegetables were cooked by Malini Devi, the wife of Sri Vas Thakur, and she devotedly considered herself a maidservant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but in affection, she was just like a mother. All the chief devotees, headed by Chandrasekhar, Chajaratna, used to extend invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu periodically. And at the end of the 4-month Chaturmasya period, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again consulted with Nityananda Prabhu daily in a solitary place. They would speak together. So the Chaturmasya begins right after the Rath Yatra, basically. So Chaturmasya will begin generally, say in July, with the month of Shravan. So then they would stay, they would come for Rath Yatra, a little before Rath Yatra, and then they would stay for the Chaturmasya period, and then one day Nityananda and Mahaprabhu were talking alone and had a discussion, and we'll talk about that. We'll keep moving forward not tomorrow but next Wednesday. Any questions or comments? Something is sprouting.
The question was, just wondering, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go and devotees stopped him, he didn't later on, after Rath Yatra, reminded him and said, now Rath Yatra is finished, and it's still time, now I can move on.
And they would say, but Rath Yatra, it's June, and the rains are going to start. And you know how difficult it is to travel in the rainy season? Because the roads are all muddy. Very, very, very difficult. So when the rainy season stops, because traditionally the sadhus don't travel in the rainy season. Chaturmasi is the time where they stay in one place. So when Kartik comes around, then you can go when the rains have stopped and everything. And one, they found one way or another way to keep them. So this went on for 2 years, but the end will come. Of it will come in this chapter, towards the end, because he knows what they're doing, and they know what they're doing, and they know that he knows what they're doing. but this is all in rasa, all exchanging the sweetness of loving affairs, because what's behind it all is affection, and that's bhakti. This is the essence of the process that we follow. It's bhakti, it's affection. So everything else, all the seva, all the service that is done, is a external manifestation of the internal mood of devotion. So if someone is offering something with devotion, then what you taste is the devotion, not the particular thing that they're offering. Do you have children?
Yeah.
Are they here?
Yes.
Do they go to school?
Yes.
How old is she or he?
He.
How old is he?
13 years.
13. When he was little, sometimes would he come? How long have you been here?
2 years.
Okay. So, the children, did he ever make any drawings?
Yes.
And he gives them to you. And what do you do with them?
Even if it is not that great, I say yes.
And you take it and you keep it, how nice. Why?
He wants to encourage and motivate.
But he's given it to you out of affection. So you want to encourage him, but it's also more than that, it's just he's given it to you. So the actual worth of the drawing may not be very great for resale, but it's priceless for the parents. At least the first few, if they come every day, every day, every day. Okay. In the Western custom, when the children give you things like that, you take them and you take a magnet and you put them on the refrigerator. Oh, how wonderful. Because everything is viewed not as it is objectively, but everything is viewed through our consciousness. consciousness is like a lens. So when the lens is the lens of love, that everything is viewed in that way. So Krishna is, he doesn't need anything. He doesn't want anything. He's Sadaisarya Puna. Everything is already his. So when something is given through love, that's what he sees. He sees the devotion. That's what he tastes from it. So this is what's going on. But at some point, Mahaprabhu will say, okay, enough. I want to go to Vrindavan. So that will happen in this chapter. Any other questions? Or comments?
The thing was, being like after traveling all that way on foot, and they had the first sight of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he came to see them as they arrived at the Jagannath Temple.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, and especially considering what Mahaprabhu looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Till he was so effulgent, beautiful. Charismatic. I mean, he was always ecstatic, so his ecstasy was boiling over because he was seeing his devotees. So he was happy to see them, and they were happy to see him. Happy, of course, isn't the right word, but because it's happy, and the word happy means something on this level. I mean, from this world, and I'm happy when my work is over for the day, something like that. I'm happy when, so many things. Little things make us happy in this world, but this kind of happiness is something that's on a completely different level. It's not springing from the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, but it's springing from the soul itself and its natural relationship with Krishna. So that happiness is actually ecstasy. The soul is dancing.
Over here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the request of the devotees, he stayed back and he postponed his going to Vrindavan for so many 2 years. So in the same way, when Lord Krishna was actually leaving Vrindavan to go to Mathura, even at that time the devotees actually were ready to give up their lives, and they requested Lord Krishna not to go to Mathura and stay back in Vrindavan. But he also went and he also came back, but still, like, just at a whole level, maybe we think that he went to Mathura and then he just came back much later. So what's the reason that at that point of time he did not satisfy his devotees' request of not going to Mathura?
So when Mahaprabhu says, I'm leaving, yeah, then you can bring up that question. We can try our best to discuss that very, very unlimitedly deep topic. Okay, thank you very much. Do you have time to come on Saturday to the Zappa? You're all invited to come. Do you have the Bhakti Viksha?